Coming up on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, childcare has been increasingly cited as one of the most difficult workforce challenges for parents and employers in today's economy. During the May 20th edition of the Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce's Eggs and Issues, they put together a great panel to deal with this subject. We've got it for you coming next on this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGL Radio. I'm Mark Halverson. Today, tackling our child care challenges. The first of the three panelists we'll introduce to you is the chair of the Chippewa Valley Child Care Task Force, Andy Naborak, who is the executive director of United Way of the Greater Chippewa Valley. He was asked, what is the United Way's role in this, and what exactly is the Chippewa Valley Child Care Task Force?
United Way really got involved because this issue continued to come up. And what United Way's role is in any community is to, you know, identify where there are some needs, you know, hopefully fill some gaps if there are gaps in service, and really serve as that uniter and that collaborator to, you know, bring some of those different parties to the table to help solve these tough problems that we have.
Renee Ernsting is the director of the Child Care Partnership at Western Dairyland. She's worked for Western Dairyland for 20 years, and during that time promoted positive outcomes for young children and their families in 10 Western Wisconsin counties. Here she explains just what the Child Partnership is and the work that it does.
Child Care Partnership is a resource and referral agency, and the resource and referral agencies, we serve 10 counties in Western Wisconsin, but we have 8 of them throughout the state, so every county has resource and referral agency services. The things that we do is we help parents to find and evaluate child care so that they are happy with what their choices are. We also recruit new people into the business, so we recruit teachers, and we help people start up their new child care businesses. We also develop child care professionals, so we're doing coaching and continuing education for them. And then we are like the holder of the data, so we are always looking for the need of childcare, surveying childcare providers, surveying parents and employers and things like that to see what we can do in the community, what kind of grants need to be written, and what kind of services need to be provided.
Kimberly Lytle is the business engagement director for Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. Here she explains what the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association is and how it fits into the discussion of child care in Wisconsin.
WECA is the state affiliate of NACE, the National Association for the Education of Young Children. So we represent child care providers, teachers all across the state, and provide a wide variety of services for them. So some of our programs include like the Teach Education Scholarship Program, the reward stipend to help keep teachers in the profession by providing them a stipend every 6 months. We have nutritional services. We have a shared services network, which is a fairly new program over the last few years. We're operating in almost all of the counties in the state of Wisconsin, pooling resources by bringing child care providers together through like power, buying power in numbers, providing back office supports, et cetera. And then our newer program, which I've been involved with and using a lot of my government experience, is building out our advocacy arm. So some of our folks up here today, United Way, SFTA, Counties Association, et cetera, we have started a new coalition of almost 50 different statewide organizations advocating on early childhood education.
The United Way's Andy Naborak here has asked what the Child Care Task Force is learning about child care in the Chippewa Valley.
Yeah, so a big piece of the task force to this point, we got together at the end of 2021, so still a relatively new collection of individuals working on these issues. But we've spent a lot of our time, you know, identifying some of those issues, looking at the priorities that we want to try to tackle, and then the solutions, of course. So as many know, you know, there's a need for childcare. There's a lack of supply. There's a lack of slots. Parents need that quality care. They need that affordable care. Currently, you know, the quality is very good in the state. The affordability isn't always, you know, a key factor for people. So, you know, it's something that is a challenge to be able to afford that child care. So you look at the provider side of it, and, you know, they aren't able to necessarily increase their charges in order to increase their profit margins. So as you can imagine, you know, there were challenges for providers during COVID with, you know, room shutdowns and things of that nature, and that all affected that business. So, you know, they haven't had the ability to, you know, earn those profits, and they really can't raise the rates to earn those profits. So that's an issue in itself.
Andy Naborak says,
if the providers don't have that margin. You know, they can't also add to wages. So, you know, the biggest issue that we've really seen as a task force or heard as a task force is that this is a workforce problem. You know, a childcare provider can offer, you know, maybe $11 to $12 an hour. So, you know, if you're fighting that battle for workforce and you don't have a whole lot of tools in the tool belt, so to speak, to try to recruit those people, that's a huge problem. So those providers can't retain those workers, you know, especially women in the field that are in the childcare field as teachers. And it's hard to then attract those new businesses because, you know, how can you add slots by adding childcare providers if there aren't the employees to fill them? And if you add a new provider and, you know, maybe they can pay a little bit better and they move that employee from one spot to the next, you know, what does that do for supply? You know, it doesn't necessarily add a slot. It just kind of shifts it around.
Naborak says
the issue is complex. That's probably the biggest thing that we've learned in the last several months is that there's no, you know, there's no quick answer, but there's some, you know, short baby steps we can take to try to be innovative and look at solutions and look at how we can slowly move the needle.
As someone who works with childcare providers, Western Dairyland's Renee Ernsting offers her take on the current childcare situation in the Chippewa Valley.
To identify the needs, we recently sent out a capacity survey to see what it looked like in the Eau Claire County area. We surveyed all 10 counties, but we've narrowed it down to Chippewa and Eau Claire for this purpose. And you can see here we have 175 open teaching positions right now. So the main takeaways here are the teacher shortage and the struggles that families have to find childcare. 175 openings of teaching positions, 392 teachers were hired in Chippewa and Eau Claire in the past year. That means that there is a revolving door of different people in children's lives, and that is not good. That instability is not good for children by any stretch of the imagination. So that's something that we should really be concerned about. And then there's 17 closed classrooms currently. If we could place teachers in those classrooms, we would have about 300 more slots in the Chippewa and Eau Claire area. So that's the whole, you know, we need to have some wages that are sustainable for the future so that we can actually get these teachers into these classrooms. But that only covers the 300 children. And you can see at the next thought here with the access for families, we have 784 children on waiting lists in Chippewa County and 1,550 children on waiting lists in Eau Claire County. So that gives you a general idea of what's going on. We're at a pretty crisis capacity at this point. So I've been at Western Dairyland for 20 years, and I've seen so much happen in the past 20 years, right? Back in 2015, 2016, we had 1,100 providers in my 10 counties, 1,100 different programs. That's family and group child care centers. We now have 340. And that 340, actually, when you look at the slots haven't changed a ton in some of our communities, specifically in Eau Claire, Chippewa, because when we lost of family child care, we've gained group centers. So it kind of has evened out, but it's really when we start to not have classrooms closing and then we continue to lose family child care, that's where our biggest problem is. We can't keep child care in any of the rural areas. The center of the city's fairly okay, but as soon as you get out of the city, we're really struggling with trying to place anybody in childcare at this point.
In regard to how Andy Naborak and Renee Ernsting describe the childcare situation in the Chippewa Valley, Kimber Lytle of the Wisconsin Early Childhood Association says,
and what the Chippewa Valley is experiencing, we're seeing all over the state. Very expensive, the cost of childcare, low wages, and then long wait lists, anywhere from 1 to 2 years for infant and toddler care, depending upon what part of the state you're talking about. So on average, childcare for a four-year-old costs about $850 a month. But for infant care, it's much more expensive. So it's over $1,000 a month. And in urban areas, it's hard to even find childcare sometimes for that cost. I live down in Madison and I have a toddler. I can tell you it's incredibly expensive. As you can see on this slide, that's nearly 50% more than in-state tuition for a four-year public school here in the state of Wisconsin. And as a result, it takes a big chunk of change out of families' budgets. So the federal affordability recommendation is that childcare costs no more than 7% of families' income, but in reality, it is much more, especially for minimum wage worker as you can see on this slide, it's about 83% for a childcare worker. And again, we'll get into this a little bit, where they make $11 to $12 an hour. It's almost 60% of their salary. For a medium family with children, 18%. And even higher wage families that are making 200, 300% above the federal poverty level, it's anywhere from 8 to 11%. Of their family's budget.
Lytle says as she does legislative forums around the state, everyone's asking,
you're paying so much into it. Why is it that the workers are paid so little? And the challenge is that the model primarily relies upon parents' ability to pay. And there are some programs that take the Wisconsin Shares child care subsidy for low-income children, but most programs rely solely upon parents' ability to pay. So they would have to raise the wages and in some instances price people out of the market if they wanted to raise the wages more.
Lytle says with increasingly fewer daycare options available, especially in rural areas,
when parents can't find childcare, it's very difficult to go to work when you don't have a place for your kiddo to go. One thing that is noteworthy, pre-COVID at least, of mothers of infants and toddlers in the state of Wisconsin, 70% of those moms were in our workforce. Almost 10% more than the national average. No big surprise, Wisconsinites have a good, strong work ethic. But the challenge is then as we've seen so many childcare programs shut down, some families have been forced to leave the workforce just because, again, when you have a 1 to 2 year wait list, not ever, some piece together care as we've been, I'm sure you guys will have stories to share, piece together care between family, friend, and neighbors, but not everyone is able to do that until they get off that 1 to 2 year wait list. So again, that's where we're hearing from employers all over the state about how this child care shortage is impacting their ability to recruit and retain workers.
Andy Naborak was asked, what is the role of the Chippewa Valley Child Care Task Force? What are they doing to figure out what should be done next?
I think it's all about being innovative, really looking at collaboration and, you know, trying to research what's, you know, maybe been successful in other areas, what's going on around the state. The role of the task force can be to maybe apply for funding sources that are out there to help in building supply, help in supporting our child care workers.
Naborak says
part of our seeking out solutions was to send out a survey to local employers. So we did so in Eau Claire and Chippewa counties. And, you know, we saw a lot of those same concerns that Kimber shared as far as, you know, employees needing, you know, more flexible work schedules because of childcare, employees not being as productive in the workplace because of stress about childcare and, you know, any gaps that may happen. You know, there's been challenges, like I mentioned before, with closed rooms. So, you know, we found a lot of that in our survey data with local employers, and we were able to use that on a grant application that we applied for. So something called Project Growth has really come about with some innovative solutions in the state.
Renee Ernsting was asked what local solutions her childcare partnership is working on.
So as part of our work, we are always doing ongoing recruiting efforts. As you can imagine, that's a little bit difficult when you're recruiting somebody into a field that's, you know, $12 an hour. But the family childcare piece of it is a little bit brighter sunshine news in the sense of you can make a viable income, and it is a little bit easier to coerce people into that field. Although we are, you know, experiencing, like most of the women that we have that we are talking to, right? Like it's a heck of a thing to try to figure out how you do that in your home. And there's a lot of barriers and a lot of expenses. You have classes and you have fences and you have all kinds of materials and safety items that you'll have to cover. So, you know, there's a lot of things that have that go into the recruiting piece of it. We're always writing grants to be able to try to support that and those types of things. But, you know, the recruiting efforts happen from our office on a monthly basis for all 10 counties. We also work with the Women's Business Center to make sure that people are getting referrals to them so that they have business plans and budgeting help and things like that too. We have business startup and expansion consulting that happens on a regular basis. We're funded to do pre-licensing work. So if anybody wants to get licensed, we can go out, we can help them with policies, we can help them with the initial licensing checklist to make sure that there's health and safety things in place and they're ready to start their business on the right foot.
Ernstein says
we have entry-level courses. The state of Wisconsin has generously allowed us to do that for free right now. So for the next year, we'll be offering those courses for free so that we can get as many people as possible ready to be teachers and ready to open family childcare businesses. We always are on the continuous quality improvement, doing coaching, doing educational seminars and things like that for providers to be sure that they're of the highest quality that we can provide. And then the last thing here is Child Care Counts. That is not a program of Child Care Partnership, but the Department of Children and Families has a, it's a Child Care Counts stabilization grant. So right now, child care providers can get some extra funds to help to supplement some of these things. Much like Andy has mentioned, these are things that stop at a certain time, right? Because these are things that are not going to be around forever. They certainly help right now. I have heard from countless business owners and directors that Child Care Counts has made a huge difference, stabilized the industry, and really kept businesses alive. I've heard of $30,000 and $40,000 being lost because of quarantining and closed classrooms and all those kind of things. So this Child Care Counts money has really helped tremendously. And then we have the parent side that we work with, you know, assisting to find and evaluate childcare. So we're certainly out there every day trying to help parents to find childcare. That's a real trick lately too. The neat piece of this is that our agency is well suited to do that because we're also starting up those new businesses. So at least we know if we have lots of lists of waiting lists that perhaps we have something in a community that's just starting. So at least we have some of those things going on right now. Right now, our pre-licensure has almost 20 businesses that are being started in our 10 counties. That's a bright side, right? I was the pre-licensure for many, many years, and it would be a big deal if I had maybe 12 or 15, but we're almost at 20 right now. So we're really out there trying to start up these businesses and see what we can do.
Thanks so much to Scott Rogers, Public Affairs Director for the Eau Claire Chamber of Commerce, and for the Chamber making available the audio from this May 20th event, Tackling Our Child Care Challenges. Again, the panelists you heard from included Andy Naborak, who is the Executive Director of United Way of the Greater Chippewa Valley and Chair of the Chippewa Valley Child Care Task Force. Also, Renee Ernsting, Director of the Child Care Partnership at Western Dairyland, and Kimber Lytle, Business Engagement Director with Wisconsin Early Childhood Association. I'm Mark Halverson. Thanks for listening to this edition of Chippewa Valley This Week, a public affairs program of WWIB and WOGO Radio. We'll get the podcast posted at WIB.com, where you can find all of our Chippewa Valley This Week podcasts from weeks gone by. With you again next week as well, 5:05 on WOGO and around 5:05 or so on WWIB and WIB.com. Thanks for listening.